That's why that key number three, that's why key number three, write it down, key number three, is simply this. Key number three, the war against the challenges of life, the war against the challenges of life is won or lost in the battlefield of the mind. Key number three, the war against the challenges of life is won or lost in the battlefield of the mind.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26, looking at verse 3, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, How Can I Have Peace?
I love Thanksgiving. Don't you love Thanksgiving? Nothing like football and food. And yeah, I guess you could throw your family in there too, amen? But I can remember growing up and we'd approach the Thanksgiving table. Now there's something about the Thanksgiving table, amen? I'll tell you what, so many times we just believe the Holy Spirit hovers over the Thanksgiving table. Boy, there's food there and we all love to eat. And sure enough, the table is set. Boy, the tablecloth is out. There might even be some pilgrims hanging out as salt shakers on the table. I don't know. But there's the table, and it's set. But something that was so interesting growing up, and even to this day, is that there typically is something in the middle of the table. There's something there. No, it's not the turkey. It hasn't been brought out yet. But there's something there. It's something beautiful, typically. It's something that catches your eye, that when you walk to the table, that you see what's called the centerpiece. And the centerpiece, it attracts you. It draws you in. You see its magnificence and its beauty. And you gather around this table, and you see how beautifully it's decorated. And you see the centerpiece, and everyone exclaims, wow, how beautiful this is. Do you understand this, church family? That if Jesus is not your centerpiece, you will never have peace. He's the one that we sang about today that's beautiful. He's the one that attracts us. He's the one that our eyes go to, that we just look at Him and we go, oh, you're my world. You're the center of who I am. Oh, Lord, use me, guide me for your praise, for your glory. So thirdly, when does this all occur? When? Well, here's what the verse says. You will keep him in perfect peace. Here we go. Whose mind is stayed on you. Mind. I've alluded to this before and I alluded to it today, but it really is a circus between our ears, isn't it? It is what we call the battlefield of the mind. It is where so often we see that the games of the enemy do their greatest damage as he rages in the mind. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah says, we are predisposed to wickedness. Like, you don't have to teach me to go be wicked. I am predisposed to that. I gravitate towards that. But my mind, where ideas get planted in my mind, and that's where that predisposition of wickedness just takes root, doesn't it, and runs wild. Well, here you have in this verse, it says, whose mind is stayed. So picture this. I'm going to try to paint this picture for you. This mind, this control center, this data center that you have in your mind, that I have in my mind, we need to stay it on the Lord. Now, here's what's so beautiful about this Hebrew definition of the word stay, or to stay, whose mind is stayed on you. It literally means this: to lean into, or even deeper, simply to lay upon. So when Isaiah is writing here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the message he's communicating is this, that you, God, number one, starting with you, you're going to guard with great fidelity and watch over and preserve. You're on patrol 24/7, 365, never taking a break, always looking after the ones that are yours, your children. The sheep hear his voice. And he's going to keep you in a perfect, a complete, a total, flawless peace, whose minds are literally laying upon the Lord's. When you lay upon the Lord, when you're walking through the dark nights of the soul, when your back is against the rope and the losses are piling up one after another, after another, after another, do you casually approach the Lord? Do you just kind of casually, flippantly go, hey, what's up, dude? How things going? That's not what I do. Man, when I'm going through a difficult season of life, man, I am pleading. I am crying out. I am literally laying on the Lord. My goal for my life, and I pray for yours as well today, is that you won't just lay on Him like I tend to do in the difficult moments. I pray that you will lay on Him during the mountaintops of life as well. You just lay on Him. You lean into Him. Say, God, I can't do this. God, I can't do this. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. And I think there's those times in my life where the Lord, I believe, I think He looks at me in my brokenness and my wickedness, and I think He looks at me and kind of sighs, goes, finally, John. Finally, you're now leaning into me. You're now surrendering everything to me. And now finally, we can get down to work. I believe that's what He does in my life. And perhaps He does it in your life as well. Have you ever noticed this, church family? That the more we think about a problem, typically the bigger the problem becomes. That the more I meditate on the problem and my mind is not stayed on, it's not leaning into Him. I'm leaning on the challenge or the disappointment or the heartache. I'm laying on it. Jesus is over here going, hey, I'm over here, I'm over here. Jesus, wait a minute, I got to go lean on this problem. I'll tweet you. Send you an Instagram later, all right? No, what do we do, man? We got to get away from this and just lean on Him. Cast your burdens on the Lord, for He cares for you. His burden is easy and His yoke is light. And the word cast there in the original literally means this, to heave with great force. Just heave your burdens on the Lord. I mean, just heave it on Him. He's big enough. He's got broad shoulders. They nailed Him to a cross. They lifted Him high and they stretched Him wide. They nailed Him to a cross. They lifted Him high. And they stretched Him wide. Oh, He can handle your junk today. Rest assured. We typically trust in what we are most focused on. And that's why we need the mind of Christ. Write this down, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. There's the mind, which is also in Christ Jesus. That whole phrase and verses there are talking about the humbled and exalted Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Write down Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Colossians 3, 2 through 3. Set your mind, here we go, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Why? Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind. Set your gaze. Set all that you're doing. Aim the arrows towards the Lord. Set it on Christ, not on the world. For you died and your life is hidden with Him. And lastly, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the world. We know this one. But be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, don't miss that part, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why key number three, write it down, key number three, is simply this. Key number three, the war against the challenges of life. The war against the challenges of life is won or lost in the battlefield of the mind. Key number three, the war against the challenges of life is won or lost in the battlefield of the mind. So lastly, here's the last part of the verse. And the question I want to ask us is simply this. Why does this happen? What's the why here? What's the why? Why is this happening? He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Write that word trust down. That's very key. That word trust simply means this. To be confident in, to be secure in, to feel safe, to be dependent upon. To be confident in, to be secure in, to feel safe, to be dependent upon. Who or what we are depending on is actually who or what we're trusting in. So whatever you're depending on today is actually where your hope resides. So the question I want to ask you today and to ask myself is, where does our hope reside? Because how we truthfully answer that question tells us truthfully who or what we're trusting in. Where does your hope reside? The things of this earth or the Lord? What's going to happen in your future or the Lord? What's in your bank or the Lord? What are you trusting in? What are you hoping in? My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's why, lastly, key number four. Here it is, key number four. Key number four, write this down. I must moment by moment choose faith in God. Key number four, I must moment by moment choose faith in God over fear of my circumstances. Key number four, I must moment by moment, remember you got to preach this to yourself, I got to preach this to myself, the false narrative from the enemy. He's got his gospel. He's going to tell you that your challenges are too big for God. That's not only foolishness, that's demonic. Those are lies from the pit of hell. There is nothing too big for my God. Nothing. I must moment by moment choose faith in God over fear of my circumstances. I made a note here and I said this. I said your why, your W-H-Y, must be greater than your pain. Your why has got to be greater than your pain. All of us in the room today, every one of us, I don't care what you drive, where you live, how much money you have, every person today has some element of pain. It's part of a broken, depraved, fallen world. So our why has to be greater than our pain. What is your why? I'll tell you what my why is. His name is Jesus. That's my why. Man, I lean on Him. I trust Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. We just trust Jesus. Some people look at that and go, well, He's just one of the options. No, He is the option. It's Jesus and nothing else. How do you know that? Because I know this. You will never have peace unless you know the Prince of Peace and He knows you. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 simply says this. Therefore, submit to God. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? We don't want to submit to anyone as humans, do we? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Did you catch that, church family? Resist the enemy. Don't listen to his lies. I don't care what you got to do. Go out and run around the block. Do jumping jacks. Drink Kool-Aid. I don't know. Whatever you need to do, don't listen to the enemy. You may walk around saying, na la la, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter. I don't know. Whatever you got to do, you do it. But don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of truth. Submit yourself to God. Resist the enemy. Don't open the door. Don't like, you know, ding dong, and you crack it open. Satan's like, I'm here. No. That's not what we do. No, you bolt up every crevice in your house, and you pray that an angel of the Lord will encamp around your house and your children and your wife and your husband. And you just let the enemy know that you're not taking orders from him. You take orders from King Jesus. Submit yourself to God. Just submit. Just surrender everything. Whatever you're holding back today, just submit it to him. I don't know what is in your life. Just submit it right now to him. Whatever the Holy Spirit right now is telling you, you're hanging on to this. You're micromanaging this. No. Submit it to God today. Lay it on the altar, push back from the altar, say, Jesus, I'm wholly yours. Take my life and let it be. I don't care if anyone goes with me. I know this, I'm driving a stake in the ground. Even if none go with me, I'm still following Jesus. Submit to him, surrender, resist the enemy, draw near to God, come close to God. And what is the promise from God's word? And I'm holding God to it. Draw near to God and he will do what? He will draw near to you. I'm holding him to his word. Because even when I'm faithless, he is ever faithful. You say, preacher, wrap this thing up. Back in 1519, I wasn't alive, in case you were wondering. There was a guy named Cortez. And Cortez decided to take on the Aztecs. Well, this was utterly insane because the Aztecs dominated that area of the world. They had great treasure, great fortune. And the cliff notes of the story is simply this. He said, look, we're going and we're taking over. And I'm going to take a relatively small amount of men, about 500, about 11 ships, and I believe about 100 horses. And we're somehow going to go conquer the mighty Aztec Empire. Well, they land on the beach. And as they're preparing to go do battle, many of the men decide to go AWOL. They see the obstacle, they see the challenge, they see the foe, they see the difficulty, and they're like, woo, we didn't sign up for this. We want to get a return airfare home. Maybe we can Uber. Well, you know the story. You can't Uber, and not too many planes were flying back then. So Cortez had this idea. He said, my men are fearful. They're choosing their fear over the mission. And so he gave the order. And the order was simply this. Burn all of our ships. What? Yeah, go burn all of our ships. Are you out of your mind? That's our only way home if this doesn't work out. You see, his thought was this. We got a mission, and we're dialed in, and we will not be deterred. And if we're going home, we're going home in their ships. Because we're going to decimate them to such the degree, we'll take their ships and go home. Let me ask you a question. What do you need to burn in your life today? What is it today in your life you need to go burn? Because you're holding on to it as a safety net. And Jesus is like, this is not how this works. No, you're either all in or you're all out. What do you need to burn today? That you're looking in the past. Maybe it's for some of you today, it's your past. You will never walk in your today. You will never step into your tomorrow as long as you're living in your past. Never happen. You got to burn it. Paul said it this way from Scripture. Forgetting the things which are behind, I press on towards the goal. I'm not letting this nonsense hold me back. That's all from the enemy. I don't work for the enemy anymore. I work for King Jesus. You see? What do you need to burn today? What do you need to burn? Maybe today you need to burn a secret sin. Maybe you need to burn that you've never truly given your life to Christ and you're kind of hanging on to that as kind of some medication. Well, I feel good just kind of hanging out in the middle here. But maybe there's something going on in your life today, of fear, of worry, of I don't know what's in your life, but I know this. What do you need to burn? You will never, never walk into your today, step into your tomorrow, as long as you're living in your past. That's why, lastly, I want to read this to you. It's my favorite poem. And I've read it before, but I want to leave this with you today. Because, church family, don't miss this. What you're doing on earth will count for eternity. Now, that's a two-edged sword, that statement. See, we're all going to end up in an eternity. Either with the Lord or away from the Lord. There's only two places we could end up. What you do on this earth will count for eternity. Oh, it will. And with that said, Linda Epperson wrote this poem that's been read by, I'm sure, millions of people. And it's simply entitled, The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For the dash represents all the time that they had spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not. Don't miss this, church family. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, listen to this line in this poem. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way that other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash may only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said about how you spent your dash? How are you spending your dash? One hand on Jesus, one hand in the world? or are you all in? Even if none go with you, I pray, church family, I pour courage into you. I implore you. I beseech you. Live on the edge for Jesus. Be world changers. Go turn the world upside down. Go make a difference. Don't settle for casual Christianity. Be the one that sets the tone. Be the culture setter. Be the thermostat. Go make a difference for Jesus Christ. And to Him be the praise. To Him be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We give this day to You. God, I pray that You would just do a work. God, I pray if there's one here today, maybe there's one here today that does not truly know You. God, I pray right now that person would say, God, take my life right now. I'm giving my life to You. I'm surrendering total control over to You. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He came to this earth. I believe He lived a sinless life. I believe He was falsely tried. I believe He was falsely executed. They buried Him in a grave. But I believe that on the third day, He conquered sin and death, and the grave could not hold my King. Oh God, if that's that person praying that today, I pray they place their faith in Jesus and Him alone. Not good works, but just resting in the grace, unmerited favor through the royal, righteous blood of Jesus Christ. God, I pray You welcome them into Your family. Welcome them, God, I pray. I pray that You surround them with people that would raise up disciples and raise up a disciple in them, that they could go and make disciples that make disciples of Jesus and use their life as a living sacrifice till the end of their day. Oh God, we love You. Thank You for this day. This is the day that You have made, God. We will choose faith over fear. We will rejoice and be glad in this day, for this day is Yours. And we pray this all in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people shouted, amen, 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 amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.